The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
This morning you may sit down for the reading of the Gospel. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Martha, your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. At this point, I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I know everybody's stretching. I see stretching going on out there. It's the end of spring break. Isn't it terrible? Come on up. I've got some questions for you today. Hope everybody had a good spring break. Okay, good. I like that. I like to hear when people are having a good time. All right. So, I'm going to write a job description today, and I need your help. Okay? All right. I want to describe the best friend, my best friend, okay? So what things do we need to have for my best friend? What?
Love.
Love, that's a good one. Okay, we'll put that one down. Okay, love. What else we got? Trust. That's good. What other things can you think of? Yes?
Faith.
Faith, that's a good one too. All right. We're doing pretty good there. All right, any others?
Honesty.
Honesty. We're doing pretty good. That's a good list. One more. You got another one?
Happiness.
You want a friend to be happy when you're happy, right? Mm-hmm. What about the other side of that, though? Would you like a friend to be sad when you're sad?
No.
I'm sad. Well, you want them to be sad with you, wouldn't they? Because you would want them to want to try to help you, right? You wouldn't want them going around, you know, when you're sad, right? So, let's say be sad when you're sad, too, okay? All right, well, that's a pretty good list there. And today in the gospel lesson, we have two friends. We have Jesus and Lazarus. Now, there's something really interesting in that gospel lesson. Believe it or not, in this big, long reading is... Here's a little nugget for you. The shortest verse in the entire Bible. And it's just two words. But it shows us what kind of a friend we have with Jesus and what kind of friend Jesus was with Lazarus. The two words are, Jesus wept. He was sad because all the people were sad that Lazarus had died. But he knew something else. He knew something special. He knew what he was here for. And that he had more than just that friend. He had us as friends. He had left, think about it, he had left everything from his Father in heaven, given up everything. He had a nice, comfortable place up there. And he came down here to live with us, teach us, and help us learn about God's love. And then he knew that he was going to do this right up here. He was going to die on the cross. Not just for Lazarus, but for you and for me and for everybody else out there. Matter of fact, he even says it in the gospel lesson, and he left us a question. Now, this is a question you don't have to answer right now, but I want you to take it with you today and think about it this week as you go back to school and go back to everything that you normally do, and think about what this question says, okay? It says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. That cross didn't end it. We've got Easter coming yet. Ooh, yeah, that's a neat thing, isn't it? But then he asks the question, do you believe this? I don't expect an answer. I want you to take it with you. And then I'm going to leave you with one more question. This one comes from me. As you go out this week, can you say that Jesus is your friend? Think about that one. I know the answer, but even if the answer's opposite what I think it is, I hope you'll think about it this week and think about how Jesus can be your friend and all the wonderful things that he's done just for us, that he wept, he'll weep when we weep, he'll be happy when we're happy, but most importantly, he's very happy if we believe and have faith in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all our friends. We thank you for all our friends here at this church. And we also thank you, dear Lord, that you are our friend. Help us to remember that you are our friend every minute of every day, and you walk with us wherever we walk. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good week. Hope you think about those two questions, okay?
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A fire and brimstone stern preacher started his sermon one Sunday morning. It is a fearful thing that one day every member of this congregation is going to die. And that got everybody sitting up straight and looking very stern, or very, very stern, all except one man sitting on the front row. And he had a smile on his face. And so the preacher looked him straight in the eye. Let me repeat myself. It is a fearful thing that one day every member of this congregation is going to die. And the man had a bigger grin on his face. And that irritated the preacher. He was getting red in the face, and it irritated the preacher. And he said, sir, what do you find so amusing by that statement? And the man said, I don't find it amusing at all, but I'm terribly relieved. You see, I'm not a member of this congregation. Death is one of those things we don't like to think about, but it does surround us. We had a funeral yesterday here at the church. Many of you have lost loved ones, maybe parents, grandparents, a spouse, maybe even a child. Maybe you've lost your best friend along the way. Death is one of those things we don't want to see, we don't want to hear about, we don't want to deal with. But death is not only at the very end of our lives here on this earth. Death also happens to us all the way through life. In each stage of life, we go through small deaths, such as at middle age. We see ourselves slowing down a little bit. Maybe we don't have the energy or the stamina that we used to. Maybe we can't work as long as we wanted to. And we want to deny that we're getting older. And so we do crazy things, like maybe go out and buy a sports car. Or maybe we become workaholics, even more so workaholics, and we ignore our spouse, we ignore our children. We don't pay the attention to them that they need. Or sometimes we even get rid of our spouse and go see if we can find that young love once again, that spark in somebody else. We don't want to admit that we are starting to get older. And so we do crazy things. In advanced age as well, then too. We realize that our hair may be turning gray, or it may be falling out. We have more wrinkles. We have more spots. The aches and pains are more common, if not always there. We get disease a little bit more. Our eyesight starts to go. Our hearing starts to go. Our teeth go away. And we don't want to admit. We don't want to look forward to what is still coming. One man faced it this way. Every morning he would get up. First thing he would do is go out his front door into his front lawn, pick up the newspaper, and look at the obituaries. If his name was not there, he'd go in and have breakfast. Even at young age, that those little deaths come along then too. There once was a mother and her son, and her son was a good child. He didn't get into much trouble. He made decent grades at school. But the thing was, is he was a slob. The whole house was scattered with his stuff. Anywhere he'd go, he'd just be dropping stuff. His coat, his books, his toys, his sports equipment, his hat, shoes, socks. Wherever it would go, there would be stuff of his scattered around the house. And his room was a disaster area. And his mother tried all sorts of stuff to get him to pick up after himself. And finally, one day, she said, "Son, you are getting old enough to pick up after yourself. You're getting of that age. You're starting to grow up. And so here's what I'm going to do. So every time that I have to pick up after you, for every item that I pick up, I am going to charge you a nickel." And so at the end of the first week, she presents her son with a bill for $1.65. Later in that day, her son brings the payment with a note, plus 50-cent tip. And the note said, "Thanks, Mom. Keep up the good work." In all ages, we go through those stages. We go through those stages where we see that we are no longer as we were before. And a lot of those are small deaths. And when we're young, we don't want to grow up. And sometimes it takes people to be at least in their 30s before they grow up. As in middle age then, we don't want to admit that we're slowing down or we can't do the things that we wanted to do. That the zest for life is just not there. And at old age, with pains and aches and the loss of those people around us, we know it's coming. We don't want to face death. We don't want to talk about it. We want to hide. We want to close ourselves up and just not even deal with it. When God came and looked at this world and he saw the trouble that this world was in, the mess that everybody was in, God could have just wiped out humanity and started over fresh. Start with a new Adam and Eve, or start with a whole new creation of people who were not such a mess. But he didn't do that. Instead, God took a risk. God took a risk with his son. The risk was that the son would come into the world and be rejected, that he would be hurt, that he would be beaten, that he would be tortured, or that maybe even he would be killed. And that's the risk that God took in order to save the humanity who was here. In our gospel lesson today, we hear that story of Jesus raising Lazarus. Lazarus has been buried in the tomb for 4 days, and Jesus comes. You can see in the story all the emotions that go on with the death, the grief, the weeping, the crying, the accusations. Mary and Martha both said the same thing. "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And in that statement, you not only hear that kind of accusation or that anger, but you also hear the faith, knowing that Jesus can do wonderful things, that there was always hope that God could turn life around somehow. So Jesus and everybody else goes out to the grave. And he says, "Open the door. Roll back the stone." And again, you hear that trepidation. "No, Jesus. He's been dead 4 days. The body is decaying. It's going to stink." But they rolled the stone away. They had that fear. But the stone was rolled away. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man comes out. But he's not dead anymore. He's alive. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. And Lazarus is well. We want to stay in our caves. We want to stay tucked away. We don't want to take the risk because we may be hurt. We may be beaten. We may be rejected. We don't want to take the risk in faith. We don't want to step forward into our life. We don't want to recognize that we do go through deaths. We don't want to realize that new doors open up, though, when we take the risk. New opportunities in life happen. Life becomes more abundant when we take the risk and move forward. To open that door, to come out and have us unbound. And that's what Christ did. He opened up life for us. He calls us to come out. And he raises us up to new life, giving us life abundantly. This story takes place a short time before Jesus himself is arrested. And he goes through all those things that we read about in Holy Week. He dies on the cross for us, but then he also raises to new life. This story is a foreshadowing of that. But it's a foreshadowing then, too, of us being raised from the dead. And not only being raised from the dead at the end of life, but being raised from the deaths that we go through throughout the different stages of life. He raises us up. He puts us on a new level. He puts us on a new path that we may always follow Jesus and be one of his disciples, that we may be opened up and that we may be released and that we may be unbound to serve God and to serve each other. Amen.